WA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, good.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs that are?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. I want to send my best to all those listeners out there in Texas that are suffering with that extreme weather and rolling blackouts. I hope you get back on your feet real soon. Now, our guest we're going to be hearing from tonight is TC from Oregon. He was a witness to an extraordinary daytime event on a clear, sunny summer morning in 1977. It was a very large object that was witnessed, and it even managed to bring the traffic traveling westbound on I-694 to a complete standstill, as people got out of their vehicles to stare at the object with open mouths. Very interesting. Now, before we hear from TC, if you've had an encounter you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at the usual address, ufochronicles@gmail.com. And don't forget, I also accept voice submissions of short accounts sightings, up to about 15 minutes. So send them in to be played on the show. Just because you've had a short, quick sighting doesn't mean it's any less important. So I want to hear them. Big shout out to those wonderful individuals who left a 5-star ratings and review on Apple Podcasts this week. J Honey C, Shireem 8, Bermuda Girl, and Texas Poon Tapper. Thank you all. Not only does it help the show to be more discoverable, but it also gives me your feedback. Now, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show, TC.
Well, thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you for coming on today, sir. Calling from the state of Oregon.
That's right. Beautiful Northwest in the U.S.
That's great. Okay, now, you were witness to a daylight event back in 1977. Would you like to share with the audience what you were doing and what you experienced, please, sir?
Sure. So my ex-wife and I were at a friend's house, and it was actually early day, maybe around 10 a.m. or so. And we'd stopped by to see a friend and were there briefly. And when we left, we entered onto a freeway that circles Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's I-694. And we were headed westbound on I-694. And at the point where we got on, There's elevation, so you can see a long ways off into the distance. At Silver Lake Road is where we got on. And so anyways, we were underway, and I kept kind of noticing something way off in the distance, a little black dot in the air, tiny dot. Just like, it didn't move, you know, like an airplane. It wasn't moving at all. Mind you, we were probably a good 6-7 miles away, but it was a perfectly clear day, summer day. It was gorgeous outside, blue skies, just absolutely as nice as it gets, bright sun. And we drew nearer, and the dot became bigger and bigger, and I could see brake lights coming on ahead of us up a ways. And when we got up to the area where all this was going on, people had stopped their cars in the middle of this major motorway freeway and had gotten out of their cars and were standing on the road surface pointing and looking. And of course, we saw what was there, and we immediately did the same. And what it was a enormous dark colored, like a dark gray colored triangular shaped object, and had a light on a couple of corners. It wasn't blinking or anything, just kind of a dull white light, but not bright. All I can say is that whenever I've described this, and I've never talked about it much to friends or family, this, of course, was an event during the time where, God forbid, you said you saw a UFO, you know, you might actually face being locked up or something. So people held things close to their chest and didn't talk about them like this, and certainly didn't tell your family because they would all think you're nuts. So, but anyway, this thing was, the people I have talked about it with, I've always said, imagine a Walmart lifting off and floating in the air, something that big. That's how big this was. I mean, it was just incredibly huge. I don't even want to guess how many feet across, but I mean, it had to be at least the length of a football field anyways, or more. I would think more. It just sat there and didn't make a sound. And it wasn't very far off the ground, maybe a couple hundred feet or so. There was no, you know, concussion from it, like air whirring out of it or sounds coming out of it. And by that time, the freeway was shut down in both directions. Literally dozens and dozens of people out of their vehicles standing in the middle of the roadway looking at it on both sides of the freeway. And we were just stunned. I mean, there's nothing else to say other than stunned. It was just enormous. And it sat there for a few more minutes, and then it kind of slid off to the side laterally. It didn't gain elevation. And it moved across this little open field that was there off the freeway. And it kind of sat there for a sec, and then it just kind of tipped up one corner and took off. And it was completely out of sight. In less than 2 seconds, it was gone. Couldn't even see it. And again, never made a sound. So, you know, we kind of trying to collect ourselves to get back in the car, and people were moving back towards the cars, and every, you know, you're just looking at the faces of these other people, and they're all shaking their heads and just, you know, mouthing words. And I mean, I don't think my wife and I even said one word to one another probably for at least 5 minutes once we were underway, even, you know, and other than maybe, you know, what the F was that, you know? And we talked about it later that day a little bit, but we were just both so stunned and taken aback that it just wasn't anything to say to each other. I mean, we'd both witnessed it and then witnessed it during the day and in clear view and up close and personal with dozens and dozens of other people. So there's all this confirmation that it happened. So wasn't necessarily thinking gone mad. But it was one of those things where, you know, you wanted to tell other people about it right away because it was so phenomenal. But 1977, you know, you just be labeled a kook. And so it was probably quite some time until I mentioned it to anyone. And over the years, this event has kind of haunted me. And I've wanted to kind of address it. I've actually thought about doing some hypnotic regression stuff to see if anything came out under that format that would be more detailed or more, you know, kind of insightful. But I've never really pursued it. But I've thought about it all these years. You know, I've just turned 65 years old, and this was 43 years ago. And I figured, well, there's got to be others that are still alive that witnessed it that day, albeit a lot of them are probably leaving the earth by now at 65 and older. So I just wanted to get that out here and publicly put something out there in hopes that somebody would hear about my story and say, yeah, you know, I remember that. I was there. And I want to hear somebody else's version of it all these years later. Kind of why I heard your show on the internet, Nick, and I thought you just do a great job of interviewing your guests and allowing them the opportunity to recant their events, what they've seen, what they've encountered. And so I reached out, and here we are.
You say, TC, it's an interesting one. And hopefully, you know, there is someone out there listening or that knows someone that was maybe had seen this object in 1977. And I think you're actually the earliest guest I've actually had that has witnessed this triangle craft. The next one up, I think, was 1979 up in Berkeley area of California.
You know, it's interesting because after that event, of course, I pretty tuned into hearing stories on the news or seeing articles in a paper about UFOs or sightings and things like that. And it never became an obsession of my life, but certainly it would pique my interest if I ran across anything like that. And so I'd pay attention to those sorts of things. And I noticed over the years, and some of these TV shows as well that are out there on cable and satellite, I've seen where, you know, people frequently talk about these triangular crafts now. And in fact, I think Art Bell was the first person I ever heard talk about it. And some of his guests, when he used to have a Coast to Coast AM radio show, I used to listen to him regularly as a truck driver going down the road in the middle of the night. And he would have guests that would talk about these. And I just think to myself, yeah, I saw that. And over the years, it's became more pervasive where these stories are coming out and people are talking about them. And it's interesting to listen to because as they describe it, it's exactly what I saw. You know, this gigantic triangular craft that never made a sound. And over and over and over again now, I hear stories of people talking about identical experiences. So, which is good confirmation for me, you know, I feel less kooky.
Exactly. It's just the sheer size of it. It's how would something that size be able to fly, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there was no evident propulsion. There was no evident engine noise or any kind of thing generating from it whatsoever. It was just completely silent. And at that point, too, the traffic had stopped on the freeway, so things were quiet. And there it was, right in our faces. And, yeah, it defies any kind of idea of physics that I've ever learned.
Especially in 1977 as well.
Yeah, 1977. There was a lot of people that were claiming to see UFOs back in those days in late 60s and stuff like that. But they're all dismissed. But then, of course, now we know that our government here in the United States was actively dismissing those types of accounts too, for whatever purposes our government had, but they were discounting them regularly.
Even if this technology is more down to earth, so if this is the government flying these vehicles, this particular Black Triangle vehicle, it's where they got this technology from.
Where did they get it? And furthermore, what are they doing hanging over a freeway stop in traffic in the middle of a bright, beautiful summer morning outside of Minneapolis? You know, the particular area where this occurred was Brooklyn Center, just for an aside. In case anybody does hear this and wants to come forward. But where does it come from?
And it's like they deliberately wanted to be noticed, especially when it's such a public area. So there must have been quite a lot of witnesses.
Like I said, dozens and dozens, both sides of the... This is a major, major motorway, major freeway, and heavy traffic, like all the time. And it was stopped both directions. On a Saturday, late morning. So, yeah, why would it make itself so evident under those circumstances? It wasn't under the veil of anything or disguised by the night or hanging over a swamp so people could say it was swamp gas or on and on. I mean, it was just right there in the middle of all of us, and it was in our faces. There's just absolutely zero denying the reality of it. It was, and that's why it's hung with me so strongly over these years. I mean, I drove truck for a living for years all over Canada and the United States as a long haul driver. And, you know, I've seen a lot of things in the skies. I mean, I've ever since that event, I've definitely been a sky watcher. And, you know, I've also, you know, been riding motorcycles for 40 plus years and I go to a lot of events that are in wilderness areas and have camp and have fun with other people that enjoy riding motorcycles. And we get together and have good parties and lots of fun in some really remote national forests and beautiful places where you're up the side of a mountain, 7,000 feet, and the skies are endless and clear. And I've seen tons of things go across the sky. I mean, I've seen zigzag pattern lights, and I've seen things streak from a dead stop to out of sight across the sky. But those are things you just kind of go, oh, wow, yeah, I wonder what that is. This thing was, I mean, it felt like you could reach out and touch it. It was completely a different experience.
Must have been a phenomenal experience as well.
It was. And then like I said, after it disappeared, just looking around and just seeing the looks on other people's faces, you know, just kind of mentally noting that, yeah, you know, everybody else saw it too. And yeah, everybody else feels like I do. Really wasn't anything to say, but yeah, it was, you know, pretty confirming. That's for sure.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hello, my name is Ben Lovegrove, and I've created a course called Beginner's Guide to Ufology, UFO Studies, and UAP. Are you interested in the subject of UFOs, but bewildered by the amount of information online? Would you like a quick crash course on the basics for an existing project, article, or book? I've been interested in these subjects for over 40 years. In that time, much has happened, and recent events have turned the spotlight onto these mysteries. Join me as I describe how to identify real UFOs and how to rule out other explanations. Possible explanations for the phenomenon. possible links between consciousness and UFOs. Go to udemy.com/user/Ben Lovegrove and enroll today.
Did you report your sign at all?
Never. Yeah, never. I don't know that I was aware of MUFON or anything, and or if they even existed at that point. But I've thought about bringing it to MUFON over the years, just never have. That would be another thing I could probably do to see if they can cross-reference a sighting in their database. But I've never done that.
Yeah, I mean, it's never too late to ever report a sighting, no matter how long ago it was. And like you said, you know, it might be possible to cross-reference. Someone else in that area could have reported the same, seeing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, I would love to talk to one of those people that were there that day, just to hear their same accounting of it, you know, or their own accounting of it. But I know it's going to be the same, and just for affirmation. There's nothing else involved here other than wanting some affirming for it.
But you know what you saw.
Indeed, I do. There was no escaping it.
No escaping it. I think another one of my guests, actually, it was a Terry Lovelace episode. His also was a large triangle shape. In fact, I've had quite a few guests that have been very similar in nature. This is sheer size just dumbfounds me, to be honest with you.
He described it, I didn't hear the episode, but he described it similarly as far as being big and silent.
Yeah, I mean, his was, it was episode 31.
I'll have to listen to it. You know, because like I said, you know, when I have heard some of these programs out there, including Art Bell, like being maybe the first, where people describe these things, and I mean, it is exactly what I saw. But yet they're seeing it in Nevada or, you know, California or Arizona or upper New England, even. So I'd love to know what it is. And if it landed, I'm probably just dumb enough to walk up to it and try to go for a ride.
And I'll be with you. I'd agree. Yeah. I'd agree with that, absolutely. I mean, God rest Art Bell. I still have listened to him. I've listened to him for years, but I still have him playing in the car. I still listen to him quite a lot.
Art Bell was the best. And he was, you know, I think people wanted to be on his show because he's non-judgmental. And then Art finally came out with his own event that he cited. And, you know, it was pretty darn close to what I saw too. So, except he saw his in Nevada, I saw mine in Minnesota. That's the only difference, is these things are appearing or have appeared in different places. I have a question for you, Nick. Are people still reporting these currently?
They are still reporting. I mean, we had a big flap in the UK, the late 80s, 90s, but even now they're still reporting. I've still got guests waiting to come on, still reporting the same.
This triangular, huge.
Still around. Wherever they come from, who's flying them, they're still around.
Well, we know they've been around for at least 40-some years, and I don't know if mine is one of the earliest or not, but I know I didn't hear anything about anything like what I saw for a number of years later.
I think yours is the earliest one I've had. Like I said, the next one up is 79, and then I think Terry's was, in the 80s, early 80s, I think. Don't hold me to that. But yeah, people are still reporting them.
Yeah, we'd all love to know what's the agenda, what's behind it, who's behind it, and why. I mean, it just, because it's so stunning and so powerful of an event to witness one of these things and to make themselves openly available. It's almost like they're flaunting it in our faces, and in a sense that it's like, here we are, and this is it, and it's reality, and there's nothing any of you can do about it. And so there, you know, our government doesn't, I don't know what our government does, but I don't think they're pursuing much about this, although they have come out these days. And to the Stars Academy, I think, has helped facilitate some of that. Our government's finally admitting that, yeah, there's stuff out there we don't know anything about, including I just heard recently that they're now saying they are admitting that there are crafts underwater as well that they're unaware of.
Which, I mean, they've been reported for a long time as well, USOs. I mean, for a craft this big, its purpose would be off-world. You know, just the sheer size of it, you'd expect it to be flying around in space.
Well, it's almost like it's purposeful disruption, in my mind. Obviously, everything has cause and effect. So if they're causing an incident of that proportion, obviously there's going to be a pretty big reaction to it. Why are they doing that? There's no secrecy involved here, you know.
I mean, there's been plenty of recorded mass sightings as well. So it could just be one of those events, you know, they want to show people, kind of give them a little bit and then take it away.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a statement. And truly, I mean, what are we going to do about it? What can we do about it? What are we going to attack it with weapons and go crazy? And, you know, then we have a real movie like The Day the Earth Stood Still going on. I mean, what's the end game, I guess, is the question. Where does it go? Why is it doing this? You know, and then we hear of these events that have happened around nuclear facilities for years and years. There wasn't one close by to where this happened, but it makes you wonder, you know, if it's some kind of a signal or some kind of a message that we should be extrapolating from it. I don't know.
The incidents around nuclear facilities, I mean, that message is quite clear, because a lot of the time they've deactivated many sites across the world. And also, I think if we were in any particular danger from any outside civilization, then I'm sure it would have happened. Something would have happened by now.
Yeah, that's a really good point, you know, and I agree with you. It may be more out of concern. It may be the message is as simple as, yeah, there's things that exist outside your normal realm of thought, or what you think of as normal physics or dimensional ideas. And who knows if it's dimensional? Who knows? You know, we hear these things about portals and portals being open and things coming and going through them and all kinds of stuff like that. I don't know that that is the case here. I really highly doubt it. I believe this was a craft. Why would it go up in the sky? That'd be one question, you know. It didn't go down and burrow itself in the earth or just disappear off on the horizon going laterally. No, it went up in the sky. And as fast as it was traveling, it had to be out of Earth's orbit in a matter of a minute or something. You know, it was just unbelievable speed. So who knows?
I've never really thought that aliens would come down and then be the saviors. You know, they'd be here to sort out all of our problems. I don't believe that's the case. I think it's more of a case of, you know, we are here. We've been here a long time. And like you said, you know, it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up to a different reality than a lot of us are used to.
You know, and then you wonder, you know, was this reality once accepted and known on this earth when all of, you know, in ancient times when we know there was technology and there was knowledge of mathematics and knowledge of the stars and, you know, buildings that were being built that defy us to do it today, you know, and is this a return of something like that? You know, because I do believe that there's been, well, there's records of sightings on cave walls, you know, so we know these things have been coming for years, and maybe at one point they were integrated into our lives and our society. And for whatever reason, they haven't been for a long time, are they returning? But if they're going to do it, and why are they coming every, you know, been decades since I've seen one. They haven't done anything, but I think there is a kind of a increase here in the last year or so of sightings again. So who knows?
Yeah, I think at some point in history, we did get completely disconnected. There is a big chunk of our history missing, and whether it's deliberate, whether books and knowledge was lost or deliberately destroyed, but yeah, I believe we've been disconnected, and hopefully, you know, we need to expand our knowledge more, because there is something more than we are used to.
I like how you stated that, disconnected, because I think that is something that makes sense literally for whatever reason, it stopped and the connection was ended. And we know that it's returning. I mean, we're, you know, the government now is accepting these things to be real. There's more and more sightings, and people feel, I think, now free these days to come forward without judgment. You know, people like you and others, and to the Stars Academy, the, I can't remember the TV show they had out, but it just, I think it just opens doors for people. And it says, you know, you're not alone. There's lots and lots of others that have seen these things. So people are comfortable doing it. And I think, I don't know. I think at some point we'll probably learn a lot more about this stuff. I believe that's coming.
Let's hope so. I mean, I'm not 100% convinced the government are telling us everything. They know a lot more than they're letting on. And I think they kind of just trickle out information as, again, as a form of control, to control the, you know, the flow of information. But I know they know more than they are letting on.
Well, you listen to characters like Bob Lazar, for instance, and the, you know, you can say whatever you want about Bob Lazar, but he's brilliant. The man is absolute genius, engineering genius, and knows physics inside and out. And I think that can't even be challenged. And he's not insane. He's not nuts. And, you know, he was, according to himself, was reverse engineering technology that doesn't exist officially. So, yeah, I think our government knows a lot more about it than they admit.
I got a lot of time for Bob. People focus too much on the details of his education and just trying to find holes somewhere. And, you know, if you're working for the government on very sensitive projects, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be missing information. There's, you know, they're going to say, oh, he didn't work for us. But yeah, I mean, he's got a lot to say. I mean, he obviously doesn't like talking about this very publicly anymore because it has quite an effect upon his life. But yeah, I believe the guy 100%.
Yeah, I do too. And I think he felt he was doing the right thing when he came forward and said a lot of things. And I think his life has paid for that. And he probably does regret. I think he's publicly said he regrets it, but he's believable. And furthermore, how, you know, it is a fact, and we know it's a fact that he did work out there. So how do you even get your foot in that door? You know, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen because you are a poser or faking something. It happens because you have the credentials behind you that allow that door to be opened. And I, to me, that's enough said, you know.
I agree with you. Yeah, I'd like to have seen what he's seen.
Yeah, he's been pretty quiet. I think Joe Rogan had him on not too long ago, is the last time I've seen him. Maybe, and that might have been 2 years ago even. Every time he speaks, I listen.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
It was really good talking with you, Nick. I really enjoyed it.
I really appreciate you coming on today. It's been fascinating talking to you.
Yeah, and I appreciate you being there, doing what you're doing, and adding legitimacy to something that desperately needs more legitimacy. So thank you for doing that. You're doing a service to an awful lot of people that are carrying mental baggage over this stuff, you know?
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good one, Nick. Take care.
That's great. Bye-bye. That's all for today. Keep updated with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you or a family member has had an experience that would like to be shared on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. Big thank you to TC for sharing tonight, and thank you for listening. I will return next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.